talking with Jason Norsworthy from University of Arkansas out of Fayetteville. Jason, let's talk a little bit about some of the things you were talking with these guys here at the Oklahoma Ag Expo. You were trying to, I think, give them a dose of reality when it comes to weed resistance. And you said clearly we've got serious problems right now that just are continuing to grow.
That is correct. I mean, we've been dealing with this problem for some time now throughout the Mid-South. And when you take a look at Oklahoma, you guys are starting to see glyphosate resistance here within the state. It's a problem that spreads like wildfire. If you take a look at Palmer amaranth, and I talked about it a lot today, I mean, we went from 2005 confirming our first glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth here in the U.S. to now we have it in 20 states all across the U.S. And the problem is once you lose a herbicide, you will never again be able to effectively use that herbicide on that weed. And again, the problem is that we only have a few herbicides that we can effectively use. So as we use those and lose those, what's coming in the pipeline is going to be some time away, if anything that's coming that's going to replace these herbicides that we have resistance to today.
You were saying that mode of action, as far as we just have not had any new mode of action discoveries for a bunch of years.
That is correct. 1983 was the last time we discovered a new herbicide mode of action. Those products brought forth were Balance and Callisto, and haven't had a discovery since. We're starting to enter into what I call the phase of some new crops, that being the 2,4-D crops, the dicamba crops. But again, I think that's going to be just a temporary solution to try to get us over the hump. Meanwhile, until we can discover some new herbicides. I know that there are companies that are, again, ramping back up their herbicide discovery programs. But even if we were to discover a herbicide today, we're talking probably 10 years before that herbicide ever makes it to market. So it's going to be real frightening as to how we deal with these resistance issues and manage this problem over the next 10 to 15 years.
Effectively, you seem to be saying that it really is a matter now we're going to not necessarily have the chemicals, we're going to have to do other management practices.
Absolutely, and I think that's what I try to emphasize today is using, at the end of the day, herbicides alone are part of the solution. They're not the complete solution. It's going to take other management practices that basically target preventing seed production and managing the soil seed bank. There's a lot of sound agronomic practices that we can use to reduce the growth and development of these weeds and, again, minimize the seed production that's occurring. Once you have a high soil seed bank, you're going to have failure of that herbicide, resistance evolved to that herbicide in a very short period of time.
As far as one of the things that you mentioned, the fact that we're almost going back to some old practices, for example, chopping crops to try to keep these weeds from bearing seed.
That is correct. Actually, I've had several of my colleagues that's come back and said it looks like how we're managing weeds today is no different than what we were probably 20, 25 years ago. We're doing a lot of chopping in the state of Arkansas, the Mid-South, again, trying to minimize or prevent seed production of these weeds. We've gone back and we're starting to use a good bit of tillage. I know it's not probably the best thing to do from a soil erosion standpoint, but we really don't have a lot of options in here in terms of trying to control these weeds. Today, for instance, in soybean, we have probably 40-45% of our soybeans in Arkansas that are field cultivated. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we couldn't find a field cultivator in the entire state of Arkansas, or row cultivator in the entire state of Arkansas. So, again, we are having to adapt and go back and look at some practices that we were using in the 20, 25 years ago. And again, one centered around herbicides is overlaying residual herbicides. Start clean and make sure you use residual herbicides before those weeds ever come up, because once they come up, it's very challenging to control them from that point on.
I know that you were saying that, you know, just see one or two of these plants can produce huge numbers of seed.
That is correct. We have Palmer amaranth. On average, it's going to produce about 500,000 seed per plant. We've found a few plants over in Arkansas that we've confirmed it's produced over 1.8 million seeds. So the problem is if I have one resistant plant in that field and it produces 500,000 seed, it's game over from that point on, because you're going to have extreme high densities of that weed now in the soil seed bank.
Jason, at this point, anything encouraging out there that you see that might help us deal with the situation? Any silver bullets out there?
One thing I'll say is there's not a silver bullet. I mean, unfortunately, I think glyphosate was the silver bullet, and we treated it like a silver bullet, and that's what got us into the situation that we're in today. We're going to have to go back, and like I said, farm like what we were 20, 25 years ago. It's more complex. People do not like complexity. They like simplicity. But at the end of the day, I don't see a silver bullet in the pipeline that's coming. I'll say the 2,4-Ds, the dicambas that we're probably going to have here in the next 3 to 4 years, they're not the silver bullet. They're not what glyphosate once was. They're going to be a tool that we can use in the management, but we're going to have to look at a program approach to managing this using the best management practices I discussed today and not go out and rely on a single herbicide to provide season-long effective weed control.
It's almost like some of these huge acreages that we have in some cases, they're going to start working against some of these guys because of some of this extra tillage need.
That is correct. These guys that are farming a tremendous number of acres or have increased their acreage as a result of the Roundup Ready era that we were able to go through, they've expanded acres, they've reduced the number of tractors, equipment that they have to cover those acres, and now they're looking at having to begin to go back, and our guys are buying additional tractors, putting saddle tanks on those tractors in order to make timely applications. Things you run into is, again, you've got to be able to have your own sprayer so you can get over that acre when needed. You can't rely on someone else to make that application for you, because if it's 2 or 3 days late, week late, essentially you're going to have complete failure of some of these products.
Dr. Jason Norsworthy, a professor and Elms Farming Chair of Weed Science at the University of Arkansas, based in Fayetteville, Arkansas, as he talked to folks at the Oklahoma Ag Expo, a full room, and they were pretty sober after hearing his comments about where we are on weed resistance in this country. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.